New Testament, we're going to look at the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy, and we're going to read in chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to start reading at verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, reading at verse 3, says this: "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, everyone, to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." We trust that God will bless the reading of the scriptures, the Bible before us today. On my heart this evening in the preaching of the gospel is really just the words that we find at the beginning of verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all. Who gave himself a ransom for all. We're just going to look at these words very simply this evening and seek to understand what it is that God has done. What he has done for me. What he has done for the world. What he has done for a world of sinners, that they might be with him forever. And so just very simply tonight, think of these two words. They're little two-word phrases. He gave himself a ransom for all. And we're just going to go through the verse very simply this evening. These words that speak to us of some of the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ. The previous verse, verse 5, tells us about the man, Christ Jesus. This is who it's speaking of here in verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all. Maybe that word ransom, not familiar to all, gave himself a payment for all. And so we think of this evening as the gospel is proclaimed. I want to think with you of four aspects of how he gave himself, of how the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself. First of all, he gave himself voluntarily. And that simply means that he was willing to go, willing to come from heaven, willing to leave heaven, and to come to this earth. You know, often in our family, I'll say something generally. Oh, can someone do this? Maybe it's wipe the table, or maybe it's clean out the garbage. Or maybe it's some other task. And you know there's just silence. And then there'll be a voice that will say, "Were you asking? Or was that something we have to do?" You see, there was no one who was voluntarily, who was willing to step up and to do the task. And usually it's something that has to be done, and someone is chosen to do the job. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think of salvation and the gospel, our verse says that he gave himself. He gave himself voluntarily. He was willing. He was willing to come. He says, as it were, "I will go." Yes, God the Father sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, he came willingly. He came voluntarily. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came and he gave himself fully. He gave himself fully, meaning nothing was held back. Nothing was reserved. Nothing was held in check. It's not that he gave himself partway. Not that he committed himself for a little bit. No, the Word of God tells us very plainly here that the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, gave himself. He was willing to come to this earth. And when he came, he gave himself fully, nothing held back at all. But again, he gave himself lovingly, or in love, or with love. There was a man in the Bible, he appreciated this very wonderfully himself, because he writes these words, the Son of God, that's the Lord Jesus, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There are those words again, gave himself. I want you to focus this evening on one doing something for another. It is the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself, the Lord Jesus Christ dying at the cross of Calvary for others. He is giving himself voluntarily, willingly, I will go. He is giving himself fully, nothing is held back at all. He is giving himself out of love, love for the world, love for each one of us, love that crosses every boundary that you and I as individuals may put up. It is love for the world. We think of the verse likely well known to many in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that is the love of God the Father for the world, for you. And we also have here the love of the Lord Jesus. He gave himself. But as well, when we think of how he gave himself as a sacrifice. Or he gave himself to God as a sacrifice. When we think of the place called Calvary, we would read there that they nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to a cross. He was crucified at Calvary. He gave himself as a sacrifice. Listen again to the Bible. It will describe it this way, that he offered himself without spot unto God, meaning that he gave himself to God for the sin of the world, and he gave himself as one who is perfect, as one who is holy, as one who has no sin. He gave himself. The next two words in our phrase there, he gave himself a ransom or a payment. And I always appreciate how the Bible gives us pictures to help us understand what he is saying to us. And in verse 5, it reads this way of our chapter, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so here's the picture that God wants us to understand. On the one hand, we have God, and the other, we have the world. And there is a separation between them. There is a distance. The Bible describes we are enemies of God. We are far away from God. And the reason for that separation is our sin. And the Word of God is going to describe our sin, the sin of the world, in a number of different ways. One way the Bible describes our sin, our wages, something that we earn. For the wages of sin is death. And so there is something that's being paid. I'm sure each one of us would not want to have a job where at the end of the 2 weeks we are paid with death. Some of the boys are smiling here at the front. But you say, well, no, of course not. Why would I do that? Why would I expect something like that? It's not something that I would desire, something that I would want. But when we think of our sin, that which we have done in disobedience toward God, the Word of God describes it as wages which we earn, and the payment for it, the required payment for it, is death. Sin is also described as a penalty. We break the law of God. You know, we live in St. Lucia. We lived there almost 6 years, and I've never gotten into difficulty with the police, thankfully. And I have a habit of not always wearing my seatbelt for a variety of reasons, not any good ones, besides the fact that it's hot and you feel all sweaty wearing your seatbelt, but anyway. And there's a road which is called the Dip. And if you go to St. Lucia and you ask somebody, take me to the Dip, they'll know where to take you. And it simply is a road that you feel like you're driving off the edge of the cliff, but there is a road there, and you just have to drive in faith that the road is there and the road is straight. And as long as you go over straight, you will come down the other side. Well, I was in a rush one day, and I went over the Dip, and you couldn't see a thing till you're over it, and who was there but a police check stop? And they saw me not wearing a seatbelt, and they were sitting in a church parking lot, and they pulled me over, and they gave me the ticket. Interestingly, the police officer said, when you saw us, you never even tried to put your seatbelt on. And I said, well, you obviously saw me. You obviously saw that I was not obeying the law of the road. Why would I try to make myself better by pulling the seatbelt across me as I'm driving by you? You see, there was a penalty. There was a penalty for breaking the law. And I was given a ticket, and I had to go to the law courts, and I had to pay the fine for breaking the law. It was a penalty, and there was a price to be paid. And yet this evening, we're not speaking of a law of this world. We're speaking of the commandments of God. We're speaking of God and His command. And every time that we break, we transgress, we sin against God's law, there is a penalty for that. And sin is going to be punished. Sin as wages, sin as a penalty, sin as punishment. But I want to think as well, because it relates to our Bible verse this evening, sin as a debt. Sin as a debt that grows. When we are born, we begin to sin. We begin to do that which is not right in the eyes of God. And that becomes like a debt that grows. And it grows and grows and grows. Until we age and we get into our teens and 20s and 30s and 50s and 70s. And by that time, we can't even measure. We cannot measure the largeness, the vastness, how great the debt of our sin is. Maybe I'll stop there this evening and ask the question, just to answer in your own mind. If you are not saved tonight, how large is your debt? Or put it this way, what sin are you responsible to God for tonight? Because we are held accountable as individuals. Each one of us will give account to God ourselves. And yet we are responsible for that. And so sin is described as a debt. It is that which separates. Remember the picture. There is a separation between God and man. That separation because of sin. And yet the verse we have read there, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, it says that there is a mediator, or there is one to come in between. There is one that is able to bring us to be with God. one who is able to remove the separation. And you say this evening, but that separation is sin, and that's correct. If I am going to be with God after I die, if I'm going to be in eternity with God in heaven, that means that that sin that is keeping me from Him must be removed, must be forgiven. And our verse here is telling us how it can be. Listen again. The man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. He gave Himself willingly. He gave Himself fully, did not hold back at all. He gave Himself out of love for you and for me. He gave Himself sacrificially. But He gave Himself as a ransom. He gave Himself as a payment. Here's that picture then again. The sin that separates between God and you as an individual. That sin can be pictured like a debt that must be paid, that debt that is growing and growing and growing. And yet we are speaking here, verse 5 tells us, of one who is qualified, of one who will come in between, of one who is able to pay and to make that payment. The Word of God describes here this evening of a debt that has been paid. A debt, the debt of sin. Again, we ask the question, when the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself as the payment, who is He paying for? Whose debt is being paid when the Lord Jesus Christ is there at the cross of Calvary? This is something very important to understand. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when He gave Himself, He is not paying any debt of His own. He is not responsible for any sin of His own. We are speaking of the sinless Son of God, the man Christ Jesus, who is perfect and holy. And He has now paid the debt. There's a chorus we sing sometimes with the children, and it goes this way: He paid a debt that He did not owe. And I owed a great debt that I could never pay. That's the debt of sin. The debt of sin that cannot be paid by you or me or anyone else in this world. Nothing is going to make that payment. Nothing is going to remove that separation between God and the individual. And the Lord Jesus Christ here, though, we find He is the one who is giving Himself. He gave Himself a ransom. He gave Himself as a payment for the sin, for the debt that is not His own. You say this evening, how was this done? What did He do? Well, the words of 1 Peter chapter 2 would tell us this. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. He took the sins of this world. The punishment that sins deserve, God has placed upon His own Son. That is what's described here in our verse, that He gave Himself a ransom or a payment. Those four words are describing the place called Calvary. Those four words are describing what He did to bear, to take the punishment that sins deserve upon Himself when He was hanging upon the cross of Calvary. I want to tell you this evening that this was a payment that was planned from all eternity. God's love has you in mind, and God planned to send his Son into the world, that he might give himself as a payment for sin. And at the right time, when God planned it, he sent his Son from heaven to earth. He showed that he lived a life of perfection. And when he went to the cross, we know that he was not dying for his own sin, but he gave himself as a payment for sin. He gave himself that he might be able to forgive the sins of others. He gave himself at the cross. The Bible describes it as a place called Calvary. And there, in a number of hours, God has placed upon his Son the debt or the payment that sin deserves. That requirement of God in heaven that sin would be punished, that requirement was met at the cross. That requirement was met there when the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself as a payment. He did not pay any money. That would not deal with our sin. And you cannot pay anything for your sins to try to have them removed, to try to have them washed away. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who must give himself. When he gave himself there at the cross, it was a place of suffering. He suffered. They pierced his hands and his feet and his side. It was a place where he took the sin of the world, God's wrath, God's anger against sin. All came to be put upon his own Son, the Lord Jesus. And there, he took the sin of the world. He made the payment required that sin might be forgiven. That is why our verse says he gave himself a ransom, a payment. God's desire is that you would be set free from that payment, be set free from that debt of sin. His desire for you to be free. And the only way for you to be free would be for that payment to be made on your behalf, for it to be made by someone else, for it to be made for your benefit, that you might be able to have salvation, that you might be able to have your sins forgiven forever. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He gave himself a ransom. And so the picture is that a debt has been incurred. The payment needs to be made. That is what is separating God and man. And yet the man Christ Jesus, the one who has come in between, he has paid that great price, a price that I cannot measure, a price that you will never be able to measure. It was the price of him giving himself for others, giving himself as a sacrifice. And he paid that price in the suffering of the cross of Calvary. But I want to think this evening again of those last two words. He gave himself a ransom for all. We sang in opening this evening that grand word, whosoever, is ringing through my soul. Whosoever will may come. And you may say this evening, how is it possible that anyone or everyone or all could be saved? Is that not a very large debt? Is that not a very large payment that would need to be made for everyone to have their sins forgiven? And it is. But it is the Lord Jesus who has given himself as that payment. And I want to tell you this evening that when the Lord Jesus Christ made that payment, that ransom price, he made it fully, and he finished all that was required. He finished everything that was needed, that there might be nothing left for you to do, but simply to receive what he has done for yourself. Simply to receive his work on my behalf, his payment for my debt, his death for the sins and the punishment that I deserve, his death so that I do not need to die and to suffer for all of eternity, his death that I might have life, that I might receive life forever. The importance of the place called Calvary. There he gave himself fully. He gave himself out of love. He gave himself willingly. We sing again that hymn. I think it was the second hymn. And the opening of the core of each verse was, himself he could not save. Meaning, if our debt was going to be paid, let's make it personal. If my debt was going to be paid, then the Lord Jesus Christ could not save himself. He could not turn away from the place called Calvary. He could not turn away from the suffering of the cross. He could not turn away from making the payment that sin deserves. Because my debt, I could not pay. And yet he has paid the debt that he does not owe. What a wonder this evening when we think of what he has done, that he gave himself for all. This work, this payment, this work that he has finished and completed, it's for all. It's available for everyone. It's not necessary for you to think this evening that you are excluded. It's for all. It is for whosoever. You know, again, just a little story to illustrate it. In one of the villages where we live in St. Lucia, there's often individuals that ask me for food or money. And there's a lady who has a little shop on the side of the road selling just odds and ends or a variety of things. And it's become a little bit of a joke between us. But as I walk by, she says, "Nothing for me today." And I'll say, "No, I have this." And maybe it's a Bible verse, or maybe it's something else like that. And she will say, "No breakfast, no tea." And I always say, "Well, sometime I'll bring it. And unfortunately, I never have. One day I should keep my promise of someday. But there are other individuals, and they come and they ask for something. And in the vehicle, we keep a box of crackers and a box of tuna in a can. And I'll pass along the crackers and the tuna. And yet, you know, different individuals will come. And different individuals will bring others. And sometimes they'll say, "Well, I want two. I'm going to give it to this other person." And sometimes they'll say, "Well, but I want three because I want to give it to this other person." And sometimes I don't have it all. Sometimes I'm not sure if they're telling the truth or not, or if they want it all for themselves. Sometimes I truly have finished the box and there is nothing left. And so I'll tell them, "Next time when I return, next week when I come back, I will have something to give." Sometimes individuals are very angry because they were expecting something and they did not receive what they expected. One individual I remember, and I wasn't quite sure if he was going to use it to eat or to sell to buy other things, or if he was actually going to give it to other individuals, and so I only gave him one set of food. And he went away very, very upset. And the next week when I saw him, he said, you know, the person I told him, I promised him I would give it to him. I had to, when I came back, you know, I only had nothing for him. What am I trying to illustrate? I cannot provide everything. Even if I wanted to, even if I could, I could not do it forever. I could maybe do it for one day, for one meal, for one part of the street, for one household, for one individual. Let's think of our Bible verse again. It says, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, for everyone, forever. Think of the beauty of that expression this evening. He gave himself a ransom or a payment for all. It is a finished work for whosoever with a forever welcome. God is not going to ever exclude you. Those that come and receive what God has done for them, for their sins to be forgiven, God will never ever send them away again. There are often times when I send people away, and I have to tell them, come back the next time. But God will never send you away. God is able to provide everything, and the payment has been made. The debt has been paid. And this evening, the word of the gospel, the good news of salvation is this, that whosoever, that means anyone, or the way our Bible verse says it here, for all are able to come. All are able to receive the forgiveness of sins. All are able to have the debt of their sin paid and removed. And everyone will be welcomed forever. The salvation that God offers to you tonight is not a salvation just for a moment, but it is a salvation forever. It is to be with Him for all of eternity. To be with Him, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the glory of heaven forever. He gave Himself a ransom for all. I wonder this evening, what have you done with your sin? Maybe you're saying tonight, well, that's a strange question. I don't like my sin. I don't want my sin, but I can't get rid of it myself. I keep on sinning. I don't stop sinning. That debt keeps on getting larger and larger and larger. And all of that is true. But our verse is telling us of a way in which your sin can be forgiven and it can be removed because there is one who has paid the debt that sin deserves, that my sin deserves. And it's for all. It is for everyone. None are excluded. It is a work that's been complete, and all are welcome. It is a welcome this evening. You're welcome here tonight, and we're glad you have come. And we hope that you feel welcome here and are thankful to be here. But what about the welcome of the God of heaven? What about the desire of the God of heaven for you to be with Him? I've been thinking recently a lot of the gospel. And sometimes in our gospel preaching, sometimes when we tell others about what God has done that individuals might be saved, sometimes we're going to tell you about what it means to perish or to be lost or to die in your sins, to be forever separated from God. And we do that to warn you faithfully of the judgment of God. And yet we do not want you simply to desire your sins to be forgiven, that you might escape that punishment. That is true. Every single individual who is saved will never, ever be punished for their sins. That's a wonderful truth. But the better part is that God will take you to be with Himself. He will save you to be with Him. He saves you for a purpose. He saves you for a life for Him. The Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself a ransom for all. He wants you. He's welcoming you. He has given His Son to die on the cross for the world, for everyone, for all, that it might be available to you tonight to receive the forgiveness of sins. And so I ask again the question, what have you done with your sin? Or maybe the question would better be asked, where is your sin? And tonight, if you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and received what He has done at the cross for yourself, then you still have that debt of sin yourself. It's still a weight. It's still on you, and you are responsible for it. Or maybe this evening you're going to look back at a time. You're going to say, it was today. It was yesterday. Or maybe it was 30, 40, 60, 80 years ago. That day when I understood the truth of this verse, that I do not need to be punished for my sin because the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself as a payment for all. Yes, that's true, but He gave Himself as a payment, the payment for me, as a payment for my sin. And in that moment, you answer the question this way, where is my sin? Where is your sin? It's been paid by the Lord Jesus at the cross of Calvary. I am no longer responsible for it. He has died for me. As we close this evening, we trust these verses will speak to you of the fact of where we are as separated from God. And the only one who can bring us to Him is the one, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom, gave Himself as a payment. We gladly tell you tonight that there is nothing for you to do. This payment has been made in full. No, nothing left to do. Nothing left for you to try to please God of yourself, but simply to thank God for what He has done. Simply to be thankful that when He died for the sin of the world. He was buried, and God raised Him again, raised Him in power, raised Him in victory, raised Him with the ability to save, ready and able to save. There is life tonight for you. Eternal life. There is salvation. There is deliverance from your sin. It can only be found through a person, only through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We tell you of Him often. If you've been here before, I'm sure the message is very similar, a message of the person of Christ, because He is the one who gave Himself. I trust this evening that you know Him, that you know Him as your own Savior, that you know Him as the one who gave Himself for me, like the man who wrote it in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Could those be your words tonight? Just simply to accept him. Just simply, maybe for the very first time, to realize I am responsible. But there is one who loved me so much that he was willing to die for me. And in that death, he's made it possible for me to have life and life forever. Trust this evening that you will accept him, receive him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one who has given himself a ransom for all. Shall we pray?